It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to a nice balmy Saturday afternoon morning here in Madison. Gosh, it's cold out, but it's warm in here, and we're going to do another coaches show here. We'll start off with girls basketball with Dylan Erickson is in the studio. Good morning, Dylan. And
morning,
let's talk about your games this week.
Yeah, it's a chilly morning, that's for sure. No, it's nice. Yeah, like you said, it's nice and warm in here, though, and can talk some sports here. But, yeah, we had kind of a quiet week till the end of the week with Monday's postponement. We were supposed to host Lakeview, but with the weather and whatnot, so that got pushed. We were able to find refs and push it back to Friday, and I was able to work out. But Thursday, we made the long trek down to TMB to Tracy, which is not the most fun drive down there, but it's only an every other year thing, so it's not so bad. But yeah, I made the trek down there. They're a 3-win team, but they had one of their, you know, they have a really nice eighth grader down there, and they had her out for about 2-3 week span and some of those, so maybe a couple more wins if they had her. But yeah, kind of got a little bit of age with obviously the eighth grade. They got a really nice senior down there too. So coming in, you know, a team that I thought we really had a chance against, the last few years, they put on a lot of press and pressure you really hard from end to end. And so I thought, you know, if we could handle that, we could score with them and be able to play with them. And we did for the majority of the game. It's kind of back and forth to start the game. We kind of got out to a lead and held it for a little bit, and then it got tied up at 11, and they kind of went on a little bit of a run, and it just stayed at like a 6-point game for the rest of the first half. And I thought we battled well, missed some free throws early that we would have liked to have, to kind of keep us going in the game. But overall, I thought, we were sat in a pretty good spot. Still a few too many turnovers. Probably sitting at that 17, 18 turnovers, in the first half. So, again, just way too many. But anyways, ended up going into half down 36 to 29. So, for us, 29 points in the first half, we're shooting the ball well. We had some really nice offensive movement and rhythm to ourselves, which we haven't had a lot of. But, again, it's slowly been building from the Canby game to the Monty game to this game. I thought, we're definitely taking steps forward and moving in the right direction. So made a few adjustments at halftime on their press and able to handle a little bit better in the second half. And again, really good start to the half, kind of back and forth, kept it at that, 6-point range. We maybe get to 2 and then they go to 8 and kind of just hung around that ballpark right there until about the 9-10 minute mark in the second half. Score was 46 to 40, like where we are. Had a timeout with the ball and got a nice look. And then after that, possession offensively, they ended the game on like a 28 to 8 run. We scored a bucket with a minute and a half maybe to go, kind of the B squatters in there. But otherwise, yeah, it was a 6-point game, and all of a sudden, we had our stretch of about 6 minutes. Like I've been talking about, they're getting less and less and shorter, but we had about a 6-minute stretch in the second half where we got nothing, and between turnovers and getting a little gas there, and it seemed like every time we would go on a run, whether it was first half or second half, they'd hit 1-3 or maybe even 2-3s in a row. They shot the ball really, really well on Thursday night. And every time we thought we had a chance, yeah, they would come back and hit a couple and extend it out. And then when we couldn't respond to it over that 6-minute period there with some turnovers and whatnot that led to some runouts, that's where they really just grew the lead and we ran out of gas at the end. But, three-quarters of that game was really good basketball, and we're right in there with the thick of things. And just like the Canby game, the first half there was a 4-minute spurt, a 10-12-0 run, and we lost by 12. We just can't come back from that, get gassed. And then same with Dawson. We had, the Monty game, we were just a super slow start and kind of seemed unengaged a little bit from the start. And then, the end of the game played really well. So we get in parts of it. We had 3-quarters of a game that I was really impressed with and happy with how we played. It's just those stretches that kind of are killing us still, and we're doing it to ourselves with between turnovers and not executing at the rim. But overall, yeah, came out. We lost 72 to 48 Thursday night.
Okay.
Stats on the night. Jalen led us in scoring with 14 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 6 steals. Kayla Jan had 9 points, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. Kai Kranz had 4 points, 3 rebounds, an assist, and a block. Callie Kahn had 12 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 and a steal, and a block. Kendall Shelstead had 7 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. Claire Borsett had a rebound and a couple steals as well. And then Brandy Meyer came in late and got a bucket and a rebound. And Andy Doctor had a few rebounds for us when they got in and got some time there. But, yeah, like I said, they had a Gurnett's girl who had 23 and a Lanou, their eighth grader, had 16. Those were kind of their two key players we were looking at trying to slow down, and they still got theirs. But overall, you know, we're still taking steps forward, and I thought we played pretty well for the most part.
B-squad?
B-squad got down, scored the first 4 points of the game and played pretty well. And then we're down, 15 or so at half. And then they fought their way back and made it to a 4-point game. And if they make some free throws down the stretch, they had a real shot to win that one. So, again, good improvement there and not giving up and working hard all the way till the end. So.
Okay. Then you went back-to-back last night.
Yeah, and then last night went back-to-back. We're at home. Moved the games up a little bit with the weather impending a little bit, and so, which is okay. And we actually had our first C-squad of the year, too. We had our 7th, 8th grade play a C-squad last night. So that was fun to watch and see them play against some competition like that and kind of blend them together. And, moving forward, it might be something we're going to keep looking at. There's not a whole lot of teams around the area, though, with the C-squad, but when there's a chance, we're going to try and make it work. And then the B-squad played at the same time at 4:45. Against a really nice Lakeview team. They were on a little bit of a losing streak there. Just had, some mental things, I think, turning the ball over at too high of a rate and weren't able to, score at the level they were to start the game. And they started 5-0 and lost a couple and they won a few. And so a nice team coming in. They play 10 girls and they got 3 6-footers out there with a lot of length and a nice, unique guards, crafty guards that all do, have strength at different things. And so we knew we had our hands full. And last night their press, too, got us early. But I thought we adjusted and we came back pretty well. And, multiple times throughout the night we got it to an 8 to 10 point game in that first half. And they went a little run to end the half. And we go down 33 to 18 at half. But again, against a team like that 2 weeks ago, we probably would have been at 9 points maybe and 10 more turnovers, So we're starting to figure things out. It doesn't seem like it from a stat perspective, having 32 turnovers last night. That's just hindering yourself, so much. They're getting leakouts and runouts and easy buckets in transition, and that's just opportunities we're not getting, and they're getting twice the possessions we are. And so it's still something we got to continue to work on and hammer out. But for the most part, there were some plays in there that frustrated me a little bit, but for the most part, I thought we played a nice half, down 33 to 18 at half, and then we kind of played right with them in the second half. They outscored us 25 to 18, but we got it to 10 in the second half with about 8 minutes to go, and they called timeout. Thought if we could put a couple more buckets together, but they went on a little run again, and just we get down by that much late in the game. We just, like I said, ran out of gas and don't quite have enough firepower to get back into a game. So ended up dropping that one to them, 58 to 36. But again, 22 point game, but it was really probably a 12 to 15 point game for the majority of it. So again, a top team in the South half and, a team, a top 4 seed probably in the section. So again, competing hard and giving ourselves chances throughout the game. It's just, we got to start cutting down all these, the turnovers, continually and putting a full game together. And once we do that, I think, things will really start to click and we can go forward, but we're competing, we're right there with these teams. We're not that far away. Like I said, it's a 12 to 15 point game throughout the whole thing. That's only a 5 possession game, in a sense. So we're not too far away. We're getting closer and, it's encouraging that way.
Stats
on the night. Jalen Lee had 9 points, 4 rebounds and assists. Kayla Jan had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Kaya Kranz had 6 points, 11 rebounds, and a steal. Kelly Kahn had 10 points, 7 rebounds, and a steal. Kendall Shelstead had 8 points, a rebound, 4 assists, and 3 steals. Claire Borsted had a bucket, three rebounds and a couple steals. And Brandy Meyer, again, got some minutes in that second half and had a free throw for us and a few rebounds and an assist. And Andy Doctor, again, had another rebound. And some of those other girls, Jada Kessler and Zoe Doctor, got in and played some good minutes for us, too, as well, throughout the game, trying to get everyone a little more experience that way. So that wraps up the week for us. Again, you know, four games in a row here, I've seen a lot of encouraging things and things we haven't been doing. So if we can just start putting, you know, it together at longer stretches and for an entire game and cut down the turnovers, I think we'll be in a pretty good spot going forward.
B-squad
on the night, they got a nice B-squad and played some of their varsity girls in the first half and kind of got out of hand early on us, but they continued to battle the whole night, so dropping that one. And then same with the 7th and 8th grader, our C-squad, they got a nice C-squad as well. And, it was a slow start. It was 4-2 for 12 minutes of the game. It was back and forth, and, you know, a lot of our girls just unsure, you know, hadn't played a lot together at all that way. So just, you know, to make the pass, not to make the pass, to try not do tough, you know. So it was just them kind of figuring it out in that first half. And then Lakeview on the press, you know, we're not really used to that with the 7th, 8th grade, but went on a little run there in the first half to kind of get it out. You know, so it was a 10-point game at half, and I suppose it ended up being close to 20. But, again, they competed and played really well. So good experience for them and get a taste of what that's like.
Next week.
And the next week, yeah, we kind of have a same schedule we had this week. Kind of a quiet beginning of the week, and then we traveled to Mineota on Friday, and then traveled to Elkton, South Dakota, to play in the Dakota Classic out there against St. Mary's in Del Rapids, so a South Dakota team, and play some South Dakota rules and things like that. So it'll be, you know, different, something unique, and someone we've never seen, and that's, I think that's kind of fun at times, too.
They play quarters?
Yeah, so we'll play, okay. You know, do everything like that. So it'll be, we'll probably use a different basketball and everything. So it'll be a fun and a cool experience to see how it goes out there. But, yeah, so kind of quiet till the end of the week, and then we go back-to-back again. Kind of feel like a college team a little bit with all these back-to-backs. Yeah. That's all right. So
okay. Well, best of luck on Friday. I guess we'll hear about that, and then we'll have to hear about the South Dakota experience in 2 weeks.
Sounds good. Yep. Appreciate you having me.
Bill Nixon on girls basketball. We'll take this break and be talking the boys' side after this.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week, Chuck Roast is 10% off, Gerber Whole Chicken 10% off. Store hours Tuesday through 5:30 p.m., Saturdays 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Pieper Auctions announces the Norman Weber Estate Personal Property Auction at the Gary Legion Hall, Main Street, Gary, South Dakota, Saturday, January 13, sale time 11 a.m. Lunch will be available. Up for auction, a variety of vehicles, cycles, tractors, and farm equipment. Lots of miscellaneous items, including some antiques, tools, and furniture. Again, this is the Norman Weber Estate Auction. It's happening at the Gary Legion Hall, Main Street, Gary, South Dakota, Saturday, January 13, sale time 11 a.m. Check them out online at all auction sales. Or sdauction.com, or call auctioneer Mel Pieper at 605-237-5082. That's 605-237-5082.
Back here at the station, talking boys basketball with Robin Rademacher. A couple games this week, Robin.
Yep, we're kind of in the part of our schedule where we had a lot of home games, and now we are destined to be on the road for pretty much the month of January, and once you know it, the weather sure changed.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Did it ever. Yep.
Yeah. So on Tuesday night, we have a conference opponent and a very, very talented team over in Clare City. We played McRae. I believe, just looking at through scores and different website things, they're ranked about 12th in the state, which to me doesn't really have a lot of bearing on it. But I knew that they're a team kind of like us, other than their record is obviously a lot different. But, you know, they played a lot of kids that were juniors last year that are now seniors this year and are very similar to us in their abilities. And we matched up well with them last year. We split with them, both winning on the other team's home court. They came out, we came out, you know, needing to work on some things that we've been struggling with the year, and part of that is we got that scoring drought that always seems to happen for us, and I thought we came out with good energy. We switched up. We've been playing a lot of man-to-man, and this game we came out in a 3-2 and different looks, and I think they struggled with that, and a very competitive basketball game. We go into the locker room down 1, 35-34 at halftime. So that was encouraging for myself and for the kids to know that, hey, it's finally starting to click. We've been playing, and it seems like in the first half we have that 5, 6, 7 minute drought where we forget to score. In this game, we didn't have that issue, and we were right there. And second half, same thing. It's just a back-and-forth basketball game. Very well played, very well officiated. And we're both teams are competing really hard out there. And with a minute and, I don't know, 20-some seconds, minute 30 seconds to go, it's a one-point basketball game. We're down, and they had a loose ball, goes out of bounds, they get it, another one, and they end up throwing up a three-pointer, and it goes in. We're down 4. We have to play the foul game, and we end up losing 68-61 on the night.
Okay.
But I was very pleased with our effort. Kids were working hard. They played for each other. We started making some outside shots, and anytime you can make some of those outside shots, it just seems to make the game of basketball a lot easier because it's tough to get everything inside, you know, layups or paint shots with their height. They have run a couple kids that are 6'6". They got some length to them, and they play well, and that's a tough gym to play in. You look at the stats, and both teams, you know, it was just identical. They took 59 shots. We took 58. We were 11 of 26 from the three-point line. They were 10 of 28. Free throw line, we were 6 of 10. They were 6 of 8. Both teams, they had 33 rebounds. We had 31. We had they had 19 assists. We had 18. Turnovers, 13 to 12. So it was just very, very balanced game, and it just came down to that last little bit of who could get a stop and who made shots. And unfortunately, on the night, we came up a little bit short, but nothing to hold our heads down for. And I thought probably overall this is the best game we had played all season, and that's encouraging because, as I've been saying all year to the kids, it's not how we play early in the season, it's how we play at the end, and hopefully this is a step in the right direction.
Good.
Some stats on the night. Yep. It was nice to get TJ back. He's starting to feel good with his ankle and getting what we were getting last year. He led us in rebounds. He had 15 rebounds on the night, and that's a category that we've been – definitely in the deficit with, and he was able to do that for us with 15. Caden Molden had 8 rebounds, and then we had a bunch of guys get 2-1 rebounds. So just having that presence back underneath and him able to control the glass was huge for us. Assists on the night, we had Davis Patzer with 6 and TJ Mitchell with 5. We had a few guys get a couple steals. Scoring on the night, pretty well balanced. We had Caden Molden get 17. Matt Art get 15, Davis Pastor get 11, and those are three guys we count on. You know, when we look at the scoring end of things, those are three guys that if we can get those guys in double figures, that gives us a good chance. We have that. And then our role players step up. You know, Eli had a nice night with 8, TJ Mitchell with 8 points. So when we get in those balanced scoring, it definitely takes the pressure off. And then Peyton Rademacher had a basket, playing some great minutes for us. In the first half was Baxter Kalloff coming in. We had a little bit of foul trouble, so Baxter had to step in. And I don't always look at the points. It's just what he does. And same with Carson Besson coming off the injury. Didn't play a lot with their length, but did a nice job in the second half. So those guys played but did not score, but, you know, contributed rebounds, you know, assists, just doing the little things. So overall, I was very pleased with how that game turned out as far as team effort. Yes, we want to get the W, but overall, big picture, I just thought it was a nice performance.
C squad on the night.
Both teams lost. I think we're working. C and B squad. You know, those kids are getting to experience the next level of basketball. You know, our ninth graders coming off junior high. And also injuries. We got some kids that are banged up, and we can't make it through a week of practice. Not making any excuses, but we just can't catch a break right now. We're losing a kid, it seems like, every week to an ankle injury, or somebody tweaks a knee, or we got, you know, Tigan Allpress has been out pretty much all year with a bad back. Carson Young has been out with a knee issues. And then every week it seems like we have a tweak with an ankle or something like that. But, you know, those kids are going out there, they're working and they're competing. But, yeah, we just need to see if like we can get healthy here. It would be really fun to see what we can do.
Okay, and then last night.
Yeah, cold night. Definitely weather changed, and we loaded up and we went down to Granite Falls to take on YME. And both teams, let's be honest, we're struggling to find wins. I feel we're competing, and I look at YMEs. They're kind of like us. They're in ball games, and then they decide. Then there's some games that they're just getting blown out by. And you know what? I can say the same thing about us. So when we come in there, we told the kids, "Hey, we can't take anything for granted. We got work to do. We can't take our opponent lightly. We haven't earned that. And I don't think you can ever do that in a game. You got to always treat everybody like, you know what? In the game of basketball, it's short enough, and with the 3-point line, if teams are on, that can definitely cause some issues. You know, obviously the shot clock comes into play, so you can't spread the floor and stall. So that's also a benefit when you're trying to catch up. So we knew that this is a game that we looked at. Hey, our schedule has been very tough in the beginning of the year. I feel it turns a little bit here, and we got some games that we can maybe add on and try to build a little bit of a winning streak. But in order to do that, you got to get the first one. And YME is a team that's going to compete at home. And we found that out early on that it's just a back-and-forth game. They're up by 3-4. We're up by 3-4, trading baskets here and there. We go into the locker room ahead 34-32. It's probably not where we envisioned us being, but in turn, that's how the game played out. They were competing hard, played man-to-man. I thought they were maybe going to go some zone, but they played a nice man-to-man. We came out in the first half and played our 3-2 zone, and they were able to exploit us in the paint a little bit. And then they also knocked down a few outside shots, which is going to happen when you play zone. We go in the locker room. We make adjustments. Kids are like, I think we should try a man-to-man. I'm like, perfect. Let's go out there. We'll come out man-to-man the second half. They were able to get some pick-and-roll baskets early, but all of a sudden we started getting a few stops, and then we started knocking down outside shots. In the second half, we hit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We hit 9 three-pointers in the second half. We can do that. Well, now you space your floor. You start having to guard a little tighter out in the perimeter, and that opens up attacking the basket, drives to the basket, kick out, things like that, and then we can get some free throws down the stretch. And we ended up pulling away in the second half and won the basketball game by a score of 77-53.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, we needed that.
Yeah, you had a good week, huh?
Well, you know, as long as you're competing. I always say if we're competing and give yourself a chance, that's all I can ask. And the kids are doing that. But, you know, I feel for them. It's frustrating. But also, like I said, guys, you got to make your own breaks. You can't rely on the officials to do it or the other team to miss shots. How about we go out and make our breaks? How about we dive for a loose ball? Hey, we took 2 charges last night. That's something we haven't been doing at all. I think we've taken 2 on the year. We took 2 charges. That's giving yourself up for the teammates or whatever. So that was nice to see. Just doing those little things.
Okay. Quickly, the stats?
Pretty well balanced again. We had Molden with 20, Davis Patzer with 21, okay. Matt Arndt with 15, TJ Mitchell again with 9, Carson Bessonen with 5, Eli Hagelin with 4, our first son, Shatara with 3. Like I said, then we also had Peyton playing, didn't score, Baxter and Brock off the bench, all contributed but did not score. Very balanced, very well played by us, kept our turnovers down.
Quad C squad.
Both of those teams, again, lost on the night. They're working. They just got to keep going back at it. And I know Joel and John are frustrated, but I said, guys, just remember, baby steps, work, you know. Let's cut down 2 or 3 turnovers a game. You know, take some positives and work on those things.
Yep. Next week.
On the road, Tuesday, we travel to Benson, take on Benson, and then Friday we go to Lakeview, and then make up for today being postponed. We're going to, that tournament back in Dubrook in White, South Dakota is back on as of now.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, we'll hear about the Tuesday, Friday game. Maybe Paul can interview you on the bus ride to Dearbrook and talk about those games, and we'll hear about that South Dakota experience in 2 weeks, and Robin.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Good job. We'll take this break. Be talking wrestling with Hank Ireland after this.
All of your family's eye care needs are found under one roof. Heartland Eye Care Centers. We welcome patients of any age, from pediatrics to geriatrics. From our comprehensive eye exams and vision correction to our management of age-related eye diseases, Heartland Eye Care Center wants to help you see our world as clearly as possible. Our warm and friendly doctors believe that personalized care is as important as the latest advances in eye care. We're Heartland Eye Care Centers in Marshall, Camby, and Dawson.
Are you tired of generic furniture that lacks character? Elevate your living space with one-of-a-kind custom woodwork from Tom Ludvigson at T&D Barnwood Rustics. Turn your dreams into handcrafted reality. Imagine the perfect dining table, a unique bookshelf, a bar for your man cave, all designed just for you. Call Tom to schedule your consultation. Transform your space with custom woodwork from T&D Barnwood Rustics, where every piece tells a story. Unleash the beauty of custom woodworking today. Tom also does floor overlays. Talk to Tom today. Give him a call at 605-695-5292.
Back here in the studio talking wrestling, and busy schedule in the past week. Four matches again in Milbank a week from today. The annual border battle between Minnesota and South Dakota, and then last night, great duels last night in Dawson. The only thing, a good local crowd, but there wasn't much people on the road driving to Dawson from Benson or Wilmer. But two good matches for Team United and winning that tournament a week ago. Let's hear all about it, Hank.
Yeah, last Saturday we wrestled in Milbank, and our first duel was against Harrisburg, South Dakota, and they were one of our two losses last year, like I said. And yeah, it was a tight duel and a lot of close matches, and we ended up pulling out the victory there. But yeah, it ended up being 36-34. I can give you who all went 4-0 on the day, but I'll give you the scores first. So we started off with Harrisburg, and we won 36-34, and a tight duel came down to heavyweight. We needed to pin the last three weights, and we went out there and got it done. And it was a night to avenge the loss from last year. And then next we had Milbank, and we won 66-12 against Milbank. Then we had Sioux Falls, Washington, and we won 72-9. And then we had Sioux Falls, Jefferson to end the day, and they had some tough individuals, and we won 64. Eli Olson, he ended up going 4-0 on the day. Gavin Mortensen was 3-1 on the day. Tegan Long was 3-1 on the day. Ben Gummickson was 3-1. Grayson Olson was 2-2. Holland Shocker was 3-1. Dan Gummickson was 4-0 on the day. Cameron Sather was 4-0 on the day. Mason Peterson was 1-3. Brian Rohde was 1-1. Noah Meyer was 1-3. Parker Boffin was 4-0, Zach DeBeer was 4-0, and Brady Rohde was 4-0. So it was good. Then we had Adrian Norman went 1-1, and Gabe Lowry went 0-1. But it was a good day for Team United, getting four victories over in South Dakota. And the JV kids all had matches too, so that was nice to get them some matches.
Yeah, it's important for them as well. So, yeah, and then last night in Dawson, it had the makings of maybe filling the gym, but because of the weather, we had a good following, local following, from Lacaparo, Montevideo, and Dawson Boyd, but the rest probably listened to the radio or watched it on the screen, so at home. But
yeah, it was a great day. We had our senior parent recognition night, right, and also our youth night, too, so the youth, the K to 6 wrestlers got to run out on the mat with the big guys and wrestle a quick match. So, yeah, that was good to see all them, and a lot of people were excited for that.
That's right. Yeah, I went out in the hallway between the first and the third matches, and there was probably about 25 kids running up and down the hallway getting ready for that that timeout on the mat. So that was good.
Yeah, it was. It was a great night. Yeah, we started with Wilmer. They were a late addition to this duel with Benson, so it's nice to get it a try. Everyone always likes tries better than duels.
Right.
You know, you get more matches, and sometimes you don't get a match at all in duels. So it's nice to add Wilmer, and they're a tough AAA team. They're ranked. They're all in the state tournament about every year, so it's good to finally get to see them. I don't know if we've ever wrestled them.
I don't know. Yeah, right.
But, yeah, it was a good duel. Eli Olson got us started off with a pin in the first period, and Gavin Mortensen won 5-2. Then Tygan Long was winning in his match, and then he kind of tweaked his elbow a little bit, kind of got dinged up, and ended up losing 8-4. So it's tough to see him take a little injury, but I think he'll just be fine. Ben Gunnlaugsson won 8-1, just missed out on a major. Then Grayson Olson ran into one of the Carlson boys, and there's a couple of Carlsons that have, I think there's been a Carlson on Wilmer's team for years and years and years, and they got state titles, so.
Yeah.
Grayson was just the unlucky one that drew one of the Carlson boys, and he ended up getting pinned. Then Dan Gunnlaugsson won by a fall in the first period. Holland Shocker bumped up to 145 and took on one of their, he's been a Sully Inez. He's been a two-time state placer, so he was a tough one. Holland fought hard and lost by a tech fall. Then Cameron Sather drew the other Carlson boy, and he ended up losing by a tech fall there in the late in the third period. And Mason Peterson lost a major decision at 160, and then Noah Meyer lost by a 9-2 decision at 172, and then we needed to kind of win out to kind of give us a shot there, and Parker Boston lost a close one, 12-7, and then Zach DeBeer won by a pinfall to get us within striking distance, and then Brady Rohde needed a pinfall, but he only got a major, he just won a decision. Their heavyweight did a good job of knowing his role and not getting pinned, and it was a good duel, and 29-27 Wilmer that time. Well, yeah, it's, when you win a duel with 29 points, you know it was a good duel. You know it's a lot of close matches and could go back and forth either way. So,
yeah,
29-27, that's pretty low scoring duel meet. It's a good learning opportunity for us. You know, we haven't had a loss yet, so it's good to face some adversity and get that out of the way and hopefully learn and grow from that one. And get ready for a month from now when the section tournament starts up.
That's right, and it was a team effort because you said if you, the wrestler from Wilmer, which they got their share of good wrestlers, as you do too, but if you lose to one and not get pinned, you're always saving a point or two, so that's good.
Yep, we saved a few, and we left a few points out there too.
Yep.
I know kids know that, but
yep,
that's the way it goes. You got to kind of take it as it is and just learn and grow from that match. Yeah, but then we had our seniors and our youth come out and do all that fun stuff, so it was good to see all those kids there. And then we got ready, regrouped, and went up against Benson next, and got a lot of respect for Scott Thompson over in Benson. He does a great job over there, him and his brother and some other of the coaches. But, yeah, they're a little banged up right now, and they're just a young team. So we knew that going into it. But Eli Olson started us off at 107 and got a pinfall. And then Gavin Mortensen got a pinfall in the second period. Then we kind of rested Tygan. He's usually our 121-pounder, and he's having a heck of a year. And we rested him because of his little elbow injury. We didn't need to force it, especially when we got a little break coming up here, and we need him down the stretch. So we put in Nelson Velazquez, and he stepped up to the challenge and went and got a pinfall in the first period for us. So it's nice to see him get his first win of the year on varsity.
Right.
Then Ben Gunnlaugsson kept it rolling and got a pinfall in the first period. Grayson Olson did the same and got another pinfall in the first period. And Dan Gunnlaugsson received a forfeit. And Holland Shocker was in a tight match and then just decided to take the match over and get a pinfall and pinned his opponent in the second period. Cameron Sather got a pinfall in the second period. And then Mason Peterson won by a forfeit. Noah Meyer was in a tied-up match and just decided to take over his match as well, and just took his guy down and put him in a nice cradle and pinned him at the end of the first period there. Then Parker Boffin received a forfeit. Zach DeBeer got a quick pinfall, and then Brady Rohde did finish us off with another pinfall to end the duel. And that final score was Team United 78, Benson 0. So yeah, it was a good little response to taking your first loss of the year. That was good to see. Now, yeah, we got a short week next week, or not really a short week, a long week, I guess, a quick one. And we just have one dual meet on the schedule for next week with Sauk Center Melrose. We're going up there, and I think they're going to try to get another team to come over and make it a try. But right now, it's looking like it's just a dual, and that's all we got scheduled right now, unless we can make up the Redwood and New London try that we lost. But I don't know. It's always tough to reschedule, especially when everyone else's schedule is already jam-packed.
Right.
But we'll try to get that one in.
Find a gym that's open. So
yeah. So we'll have a couple good days of practice next week. And ninth grade leaguers, the seventh and ninth graders, they head to Tracy on team ninth grade league qualifier for state. So I think there's 11 teams in the area that got a ninth grade league team. So the top three go, and we got a lot of seventh graders on that team. So hopefully they can go out there and win a few duels and see what happens.
Well, last night, just on the adjoining mat, Wilmer had about as many JV people as you did, and you basically had a bunch of matches for them, and Benson brought, you know, 10 kids or so, and so they got a lot of experience, which helps for Monday, yeah. And then they've had a history of doing very well in that ninth grade league.
Yep, we have, and last year we won a few dual meets at the state tournament, the ninth grade league state tournament, so it was good. Hopefully they can get back there and just have some fun. They really enjoy that part.
Sure, yep. getting experience and getting ready for their turn on the varsity as well. So, well, yeah. Thanks for the talk this morning. Best of luck on those two duels next week and the ninth grade league, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
That's Hank Ireland on wrestling. We'll take this break and be talking dance team after this.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison showing Friday, January 12th through Monday, January 15th in Theater 1. It's a good family show. Wonka, rated PG. That's Wonka in Theater 1. In Theater 2, Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, the new Hunger Games movie, rated PG-13. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
Trust Carrie Harding of Southwest Insurance Services in Canby and Grinnell Mutual to look forward on your livelihood. We understand you have a lot at stake in your small business. That's why we offer specialized insurance coverages so you can take care of business. Find the coverages you need to fit your company's operations so you can trust in tomorrow. Contact Carrie Harding, your local Grinnell Mutual agent, at 507-223-7248 today. Trust in Tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company. Canby Area Arts Council and the Canby Theater are proud to present Dennis Warner and the D's.
Watching the news.
Sunday, January 14th, 7:30 at the Canby Theater. Admission is free. Donations support Canby Area Arts Council. Concessions available for purchase. That's Dennis Warner and the D's at the Canby Theater, Sunday night, 7:30, January 14th. See you there.
But to build a better world, it's simple. Just to follow the golden rule.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Lacaparral Valley Dawson Boys Shadows Dance Team with head coach Carly Wager. Good morning, Carly.
Good morning, Paul.
Boy, the Shadows have been busy, haven't they?
It has. Our competition season has started, and we are in full swing.
All right. Well, we didn't have you on last Saturday, so how many competitions do we need to talk about here?
We've attended two of them, one before Christmas break, and then our home competition was after Christmas break.
Okay. All right. Let's hear all about it and how the Shadows did.
Yeah, so we attended Bold right before break, and Varsity Kick went out and competed against some really tough teams, and so it was really fun to kind of see. We felt like it was kind of like a mini state, so it was fun to see a lot of the teams there that we have seen at state in the past. And so our final placements ended up for Varsity Kick with YME in first, Cathedral in second, and then we were in third and tied with Cannon Falls, and then won the tiebreaker for third place. So, we were really happy with the girls' performance. They went out and pushed really hard, so it was good. And then Varsity Jazz also danced very well. Cathedral came out on top with first place. YME was second, and then we were third again for Jazz. And then for JV Kick, they also attended Bold. The kick team got first, so we were able to get first for kick. Monty was behind us in second, and then Cathedral was third. And then JV Jazz, Cathedral got first, YME got second, and we got third. Mm. And so the rank points were pretty close between them two. And so I feel like it's really going to come down to who dances the best that day, as it can fluctuate from week to week, you know? So yeah, we'll just keep chucking away and working hard on what we know. And yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So a successful competition at Bold, huh?
Yes. Very.
Yeah. The competition, Carly, it is out here in Western Minnesota. It's just, the competition's amazing, isn't it?
It is, and I feel like it's even just getting more difficult. We've got Holdingford that had just come up and beat YME last week at the ALEC competition, and so we've all kind of beat each other at some point in the season, so there really isn't any, like, strong leader, you know, leading the pack. And so it's really anybody's game right now, which makes it really exciting. So
okay. And then you had your home competition last week, right?
We did, yes. This one's always a fun one. It's nice that we get to host a competition and show our community what we go and attend each weekend. And so we had a great fan support base, and we had the little Just for Kicks dancers come out and perform, and then Valley Dance also performed. So it was great to see those studios from our area and the little girls who help drive, you know, our dance program right. Come. So they really enjoy performing at the halftime of the Shadows.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. So. You got a lot of numbers in those groups, don't you?
Yes, we do. So that's exciting for our program moving forward.
Do you consider that kind of a feeder program for the Shadows in a way?
Definitely. Yeah. And we do have girls, you know, that decide, you know, maybe I just want to do dance up until sixth grade, and then they explore other options, which is great too. Like, I want them to be able to explore that and find what they're truly passionate about. But I feel like it's a great program for them to kind of get their feet wet, you know, and see, is dance really something that I enjoy? And so we love welcoming anybody, whether you have dance experience or have been in Valley or Just for Kicks, to the team. So, yeah.
Okay. All the teams there, and who was there as teams? And let's hear the results.
Yes. So it was a smaller competition, which was kind of nice, too, so it didn't get too late. We had seven teams, including us. And so for Varsity Kick, Montevideo danced very strong and clean, and they came out with a first-place finish. And we got second place for Kick, and then Worthington was behind us in third place. And then for Jazz, we finished first place for Varsity Jazz. Monty was behind us in second place, and Worthington was in third place. And then for JV Kick, La Caparal got first place, Montevideo got second place, and Canby got third. And then JV Jazz, La Caparal was first, Worthington was second, and Monty was third. So it was a great night of competition, and it was good to just get our routines out back on the floor from Christmas break. We had ended up, a lot of times we kind of make changes in our dance, and we have kind of revamped our beginning to our kick line And so girls had to learn new positions and new choreography. And so it was just good for them to get out there and really get scores back on that.
Right.
So, yeah.
So you've changed the routine up a little bit, huh?
We have, okay. Yes. Yep.
And the reason for that would be to make it more difficult, or you're not liking the scoring, or how does that work?
Yep. So based on our scores in bold, our visual effectiveness and transitions and formations were a bit lower than our other competitors. And so that's something that you can't improve on unless you actually change. And so we just made that decision going into break, since it was a longer break, that we were just going to get that done and start over the break. And so now we're hopefully done with changes moving forward, and so we can just focus on cleaning and drilling from here on out until sections. So, yeah.
Okay. Carly, why don't you just take a minute to talk about the routines, kick and jazz, and the music selection and stuff. And does the jazz usually tells a story, doesn't it?
Yes, we kind of went with more of a slinkier jazz this year. It's kind of a sassy remix of Ariana Grande. And so they've got these bright, like, fuchsia pink outfits and just fun, sassy choreography. And so a lot of the jazz routines are slow and lyrical this year. And so it's kind of fun for us to come out and stand out in that sense, that it's just kind of a different kind of jazz. And so the girls have a lot of fun dancing to it and really enjoy it. So that makes a difference, too. The girls have to want to, you know, like the music and want to dance to it, too. So for Kick, we're dancing to It's Still Rock and Roll to Me by Billy Joel. And so that was a song that they've never, you know, heard of when we first introduced it to them. And now it's a routine that they love to perform. And so it's just fun to see, introduce them to, you know, older music, too, and that different generations enjoy listening to as well. So
they've never heard of Billy Joel, huh?
No.
That's a shocker. That's my music.
Yeah.
How about your competition, like Cambi Minyota, Montevideo, and Yellow Messines? How what do you think of their routines, or talk about some of their routines too?
Yeah, yep. Montevideo, they had beaten us, you know, at our home competition, and so it's been a while since they've been able to beat us, so I'm very proud of them for working hard, and they looked really good on Friday and had a really strong, clean routine. And so I think theirs is called Time. Their song is a mix of different time songs, and they've got some really cool visual transitions and formations that kind of go off that time theme. And so, it was a good competition, and it's, I feel like it's good to be happy for other teams as well, too, you know, when they do good, and they work just as hard as we do. So, yeah, it'll just come down to, you know, who performs the best that day, and it's going to be tough competition, but that's what makes it exciting, right?
That's right. Sections, I think, is what, February 10th or something like that?
Yes. Yep.
That'll
we
be
have
here
about
before
a month.
You know it.
Yes.
So what's up next for the Shadows?
Yes, we are traveling to St. Cloud Cathedral for a competition today. And so the doors open at 10:15 this morning, and the jazz competition starts at 11, and then the kicked competition starts at 1:10. And so with awards approximately around 2:50, 3 o'clock. And so we're hoping for a good day there. And girls have been working really hard with cleaning and drilling this week, so we're excited to get some new scores back and see how we've improved.
Yeah, some top school dance teams there, too, at St. Cloud Cathedral.
Yes. Yep. So, of course, we'll be competing against Cathedral there. And then Holdingford, who also was very strong this year, too. And so we'll compete against them. And then our good friends from Holly, so Hannah Johnson and Grace Johnson, they coach help coach the Holly dance team. So we'll get to see them on Saturday as well, too. So Crosby Ironton is another team that's really a strong competitor as well, too. So it'll be a great day of competition.
All right. Aren't the Offutt girls, they're coaching New London Spicer, aren't they?
They are, yes. Yeah, so it's so they're doing great this year too. So it's just a lot of fun and upcoming teams that are, you know, entering the competition pool, and so that makes it fun.
All right, good luck today at St. Cloud Cathedral, Carly.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Yep. And we'll talk to you probably in a couple weeks then.
Sounds good.
Carly Wager, head coach of the La Caprile Valley Dawson Boyd Shadows. We'll take a break. Come back with more to Coach's Show after this.
If you've ever felt like you just can't get in control of your money, you're not alone. You'd be surprised how many people you know are struggling just like you. But it's time for your struggle to end, starting today. Join the Financial Peace University class at Crossroads Lutheran Church in Dawson starting on Sunday, January 14th, and learn how you can pay off debt, save more money, and build wealth. Discounted rate of $80 for the first 10 participants. For more information and to register, go to the Crossroads Lutheran Church website at crossroadslutheran.net.
Join us Tuesday night as Q92 Radio will broadcast the Montevideo Thunderhawks versus Dawson Boyd Blackjacks boys basketball game at Montevideo High School. Tip-off is at 7:30 with Paul Ramo on the call. That's the Montevideo Thunderhawks versus Dawson Boyd Blackjacks on Tuesday night at 7:30 here on Q92.
Back here at the station, that concludes another Coach's Show, first one of this year. So it was kind of fun to do that, and all the activities are doing very well at La Caprile and Dawson Boyd. So Paul Ramos, I forgot my sick joke of the week. So Paul Ramos, you're going to hear a couple of Paul Ramos sick joke of the week.
All right. Well, we're going to we're going to put that on postpone. I got to give the results.
Okay.
Dance line.
Sure.
I promised Carly that I would. Maybe should turn the mic on. There we go. I promised Carly Wager that I'd give the results of the dance line last night. JV Shadows took first place in jazz and high kick. How about that? Congratulations to the JV. I think that was their last performance of the season. This is all JV, actually. Shadows took first in jazz, YME second, and Minnewaska third, and JV high kick. Shadows first place, and Montevideo second, and can't read my writing. Who took third there? So, you're going to let me do the sick joke of the week?
That's right.
All right. How do you make an egg roll?
I don't know.
You push it.
Okay, that's a good one.
What would bears be without bees? Ears.
Okay.
What do you call a pile of cats?
What?
A meountain.
Okay. One more?
Why do cows wear bells? Because their horns don't work.
Okay.
Thanks for the honor.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.